You are listening to an Elam Christian Center podcast. We hope that you are inspired, encouraged, and empowered by the message you are about to hear.
It's my absolute joy to be bringing the Word of God for us tonight. I think today we're starting a new sermon series that's called Babylon. And so we're going to explore the book of Daniel over the next few weeks. And particularly, we're going to look at how to live for God in a culture that expects otherwise. And today I'm going to be preaching from Daniel chapter 6, verse 1 to 23. And I'm reading from the NLT version. Here's what it says. Darius the Mede decided to divide the kingdom into 120 provinces, and he appointed a high officer to rule over each province. The king also chose Daniel and two others as administrators to supervise the high officers and protect the king's interests. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officers. Because of Daniel's great ability, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. Then the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs, but they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. So they concluded, our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion. So the administrators and high officers went to the king and said, long live King Darius. We are all in agreement, we administrators, officials, high officers, advisors and governors, that the king should make a law that will be strictly enforced. Give orders that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions. And now, your majesty, issue and sign this law so it cannot be changed, an official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. So King Darius signed the law, but when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with its windows open toward Jerusalem. He prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God. Then the officials went together to Daniel's house and found him praying and asking for God's help. So they went straight to the king and reminded him about this law. Did you not sign a law that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions? Yes, the king replied, that decision stands. It is an official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. Then they told the king, that man Daniel, one of the captors from Judah, is ignoring you and your law. He still prays to his God three times a day. Hearing this, the king was deeply troubled and he tried to think of a way to save Daniel. He spent the rest of the day looking for a way to get Daniel out of this predicament. In the evening, the men went together to the king and said, your majesty, you know that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no law that the king signs can be changed. So at last, the king gave orders to Daniel to be arrested and thrown into the den of lions. The king said to him, may your God, whom you serve so faithfully, rescue you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. The king sealed the stone with his own royal seal and the seals of his nobles so that no one could rescue Daniel. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night fasting. He refused his usual entertainment and couldn't sleep at all that night. Very early the next morning, the king got up and hurried out of the lion's den. When he got there, he called out in anguish, Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God, whom you serve so faithfully, able to rescue you from the lion's den? Daniel answered, long live the king. My God sent his angel to shut the lion's mouths so that they would not hurt me, for I have been found innocent in his sight, and I have not wronged you, your majesty. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. God bless the reading of his word. So we are introduced to Daniel, a Hebrew man who was taken captive into this land called Babylon. He's gone from Israel to Babylon. He would have gone through what we all know as culture shock, because the food would have been different. The culture would have been different. The customs and the ways of the people of Babylon would have been different. They would have dressed differently. The music would have been different. Society would have been absolutely different to what he was used to. And so Daniel is living in a land that isn't his. He is serving a king that isn't his. He's asked to serve a God that is not his God. He has gone from a monotheistic culture, a culture that has strong emphasis on faith, a culture where they worship the one true God, and he's being placed in a society that is characterized by polytheism, many gods, a culture that is rampant with idol worship. Daniel would have been confronted every single day with a way of life that was vastly different from his own. He would have had to navigate the complexities of Babylonian society. He would have had to learn how to interact with people who did not share the same beliefs as him. He would have had to face immense pressure to conform to the culture of the society that he was in, to conform to the idolatrous practices of the Babylonians, to compromise in his allegiance to his God and worship the gods of the culture that he was in. He would have encountered opposition. He would have encountered people who would try to undermine his influence, undermine his authority, people who would try to make him walk away from God. Perhaps as believers in this place, you probably find yourself in Daniel's shoes. Perhaps you feel this pressure to conform to society. Perhaps you too have numerous challenges that test your faith. Perhaps you're constantly bombarded with distractions and temptations that are trying to lead you astray from God. When we look at today's society, to be honest, it looks a lot like Babylon. There seems to be a reemergence of Babylon in today's society. Babylon has reemerged in our civilization through secularism. Secularism is when God is being minimized in a culture. Instead of seeing God as central to our lives, a secular society would see God as either not there or not caring. And so whenever God is demoted, man is promoted. Babylon has reemerged in our civilization through humanism. Humanism says, I'm God. So you have to align your life around me. And so what we have now is a society with many gods that demand lives revolve around them. That is where we are at today. And so my question for you tonight, church, is this. How do you remain faithful in the midst of faithlessness? How do you continue to hold on to God in a world that is trying to remove God from society? How do you continue to stand on faith in God when everything around you seems to be shaky ground? Let's encourage ourselves with the word of God. My first point for tonight is this: God is the source. In our text, we read that Daniel proved himself to be more capable than any of the other administrators. The Bible says that it was his great ability that caused the king to make plans about placing Daniel over the entire empire. But you see, before we go thinking that it was all Daniel's ability, it was all Daniel's knowledge, it was all Daniel's doing, it was all, you know, Daniel's excellent spirit and his exceptional qualities, the exceptional qualities by which Daniel distinguishes himself are the work of God in his life. In Daniel 1, we read, as for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. God is the source of Daniel's abilities. God is the source of Daniel's knowledge. God is the source of Daniel's exceptional qualities. And the profound thing about this truth is that even the king of Babylon is able to identify that there's something extraordinary about Daniel, that there's something quite spectacular about him, that he's got an excellent spirit about him. In fact, this is the third time in the book of Daniel that a pagan king was able to recognize Daniel's giftedness. Not only that, but Daniel's giftedness and his excellent spirit caused the pagan kings to glorify God. Church, there will be times where God's giftings on your life will distinguish you before people. There will be moments where people will see that there's just something extraordinary about you. There will be seasons in your life where your talents and your giftings will get people in high places noticing you. But the challenge is not that people would fail to see what you carry when they see you. The challenge is that they would fail to see God when they see what you carry. Let me ask you tonight, do your gifts Your abilities, your work ethic, your character, your attitude, your talents, do they point people to God or do they point people to you? Can people see God when they look at your giftings? Can people see anointing or can they only see ability? When people look at you, when they look at what you carry, do they glorify God or do they glorify you? And you see, it's important to know because Babylon will try to tell you that you owe it to yourself to get yourself the applause that you deserve. Babylon will try to tell you that you started from the bottom and now you're here. Go on ahead, get yourself the accolades and the awards that you deserve. Babylon will try to tell you that any fame and glory that you get as a result of the gift and the talent that you've got, you get to keep as yours. Don't be fooled by the culture that surrounds you. You weren't created to merely conform to culture. You were created to transform culture. You were created to be a salt and light. You weren't created to blend in. You were created to stand out. You weren't called to be a shadow. You were called to illuminate. Yes. To conform to the culture of society is to settle for less than God's best for you. And so the next time that you are confronted with the temptation to pat yourself on the back for something that only God could do, here's what you need to do. Remind yourself that God is the source. God is the source of my abilities. God is the source of my giftings. God is the source of my talents. God is the source of everything that I've been given. God is the source of all opportunities that I've been afforded. The quickest way to kill ego and pride is to make it eat humble pie and say, God is the source. God is the source. God is the source. And James says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Jeremiah said, it is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom and by his understanding, stretched out the heavens. And the apostle Paul said, for by him all things were created, in heaven, on earth, invisible, visible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. Turn to the person next to you and say, God is the source. God is the source. The second point for tonight is this. Elevation is the place where commitment is tested. Elevation is the place where commitment is tested. You see, the king of Babylon started to make plans to place Daniel over the entire empire. He noticed that Daniel had exceptional qualities, and so he decided to elevate Daniel. When the other administrators heard about this, they started to look for ways to fault Daniel. Perhaps they were jealous that this exile, this Daniel, who's not even a Babylonian, is about to be given the highest honor and promotion. And so they started to look for ways to fault him. But the Bible says they couldn't find anything because Daniel was faithful, responsible, and trustworthy. And so instead, they began to attack his commitment to God. They approach the king and they get the king to sign off a law that said that you couldn't pray to anybody else but the king. And so when Daniel heard about this, guess what he did? He went home, went upstairs, and he prayed. So many people today crave elevation. So many people crave the platform, a desire to be seen, a desire to get a big break, a desire to climb the ladder, whether it's in your career, your relationships, your positions of influence, your community, regardless of where you desire to be elevated. Our text tells us that elevation was the place where Daniel's commitment to God was tested. And the thing that you need to understand about commitment to God is that this word commitment means you're choosing one thing over the other. There is absolutely no way that you can be committed to everything. You can't just join everything. You can't be married to 1,000 women. You can't work 1,000 jobs. You can't join 5 churches and expect to attend every gathering that these 5 churches host. It is just impossible to be completely committed to everything. And the truth is, saying yes to one thing dictates a no to something else. And saying yes to God dictates a no to compromise that comes with elevation. Saying yes to God dictates a no to a culture that doesn't glorify God. Saying yes to God will sometimes dictate a no to a career, a hobby, a habit, a friendship, a relationship, a place, a form of entertainment that tries to pull you away from God. when you are elevated to positions of great authority, when you are promoted to positions of great influence, being committed to God will require you to ask and answer the question, do I love God more than I love my role? Do I love God more than I love the accolades that come with my role? Do I love God or do I love God more than the clout and the fame that I experience as part of my position? Elevation is the place where your commitment to God will be tested. But let me encourage you tonight. When your commitment to God is tested, choose God. When Daniel heard about what had gone on, he didn't choose fear. He didn't choose compromise. He didn't waver in his commitment to God. Instead, he went home, went upstairs, and he prayed to God. When Daniel's commitment was tested, when push came to shove, he chose God. When your commitment to God is being tested, don't choose your talent. When your commitment to God is being tested, don't choose the fame, don't choose the fortune, choose God. And when your commitment is tested again, choose God again. And when your commitment is tested again, choose God again. And when your commitment is tested again, choose God again and again and again and again. Even though he was confronted with the consequence of the lion's den, Daniel still chose God. His commitment to God was greater than his fear of the lion's den. His commitment to God was greater than the position that he was being elevated to. His commitment to God was greater than his gifts and his talents. May it be said of the people of this church that we were a people whose commitment to God was greater than our commitment to a paycheck. That the people of this church were committed to God so great that it was greater than their positions and accolades. May it be said that our commitment to God was greater than our commitment to anything that the society has to offer. Tap the person behind you and say, are you committed to God? If I can ask the keys to join me. My third and final point for tonight is this. The lion's den is the place where God is the hero. The officials, they report to the king that Daniel has gone against the law and he's prayed to God 3 times a day. And so the king, bless this king, he had a real heart for David, or for Daniel. But the Bible says that this king tried to find ways to save Daniel, but he couldn't. And so the officials come back to the king and they say, are you trying to tell us that you are trying to revoke this law that you cannot revoke? And so the king had no choice but to send Daniel into the lion's den. The Bible says that early the next morning, the king goes down to the lion's den and he calls out to Daniel. And Daniel says this, long live the king. My God has sent his angel to shut the lion's mouths so that they would not hurt me, for I have been found innocent in his sight. And I have not wronged you, your majesty. We all have lion's dens. And I need you to know tonight that the lion's den is not a metaphor of the problems that you face today. It is not the circumstances that you often go through. The lion's den is not every hardship and trial that you come across in life. As we look at our text, the lion's den was the result of Daniel's commitment to God. Your lion's den is that moment in your life where you've been ridiculed for choosing to stay committed to Jesus. The lion's den is the moment in your life where you've been rejected for choosing to remain faithful to Jesus. In other words, the lion's den is a picture of the result of your allegiance to Jesus in a culture that absolutely denies Jesus. But you know what? God got me here tonight to let you know that even though the lion's den may seem like a place of great torture, that even though the lion's den is a place of great fear, that even though the lion's den may be a place of persecution, even though the lion's den is a place where death might seem inevitable, you need to know tonight that the lion's den is also the place where God is the hero. Our text reminds us tonight that it is God who takes care care of Daniel. It is God who shuts the lion's mouths. It is God who causes Daniel to walk out of the lion's den unharmed and unscathed. As Daniel faced the consequences of remaining loyal to God, he was thrown into the lion's den by those who sought to destroy him. But God proved to be the ultimate hero. But God shut the mouths of the hungry lions. But God protected Daniel from harm. Let me encourage you tonight. The next time that you are confronted by the lion's den, the next time that you are staring down the face of what seems to be the result of your commitment to Jesus, the next time you are rejected for your allegiance to Jesus, the next time you are persecuted for following Jesus, the next time that you are ostracized for choosing to devote your life to Jesus, the next time that you are confronted by the lion's den because of your commitment to Jesus, here's what I want you to do. You ought to look at the lion's den. You ought to hold your head up. You ought to pop your chest and say, I'm not afraid of the lion's den. In fact, you should say, take me down to the lion's den, because even there, God will be my salvation. Even there, God will be my strength and my song. And he will become my salvation. And listen, even if God doesn't save me in the lion's den, he will redeem my life. He will snatch me from the power of the grave. Why? Because he is God. He is God in the face of adversity. He is God in the midst of death. He is God in the face of cancer. He is God in the face of Ahab. He is God in the face of Jezebel. He is God in the face of every single demon and how they will try to deter you from God. He is God in the unemployment line. He is God in the time of trouble. He is God in the hospital room. He is God in the time of agony. He is God in your affliction, God in your divorce, God in your crisis, God in the bad time, and come on somebody, he will be God in the good times too. Somebody say, he is God. He is God. If there is anything that I want you to remember from this message tonight, it's simply this. The hero of the story is God. The hero of the story is God. It's not Daniel. It's not the king of Babylon. It's not the officials. The hero of the story is God. And you need to know tonight that the way that we are going to remain faithful in the midst of faithlessness is by trusting this God. Not because of what he can do, but simply because of who he is. And the king of Babylon says at the end of that chapter, he's the living God. He endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He is the God who rescues and saves. He is the God who performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He is the God who rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. And you best believe tonight that he is the same God who was able to come to your rescue. With every head bowed and every eye closed tonight, we never like to close our service without giving people an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. And perhaps you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus. Perhaps you're here and you've walked away from God. I want to give you this opportunity to say yes to Jesus. The truth that you need to know tonight is that the God who created this entire universe is the same God who created you and me. He created you to know him. He created us to come into loving fellowship with him. He created us to enjoy an abundance of life that can only be found in him. But the Bible talks about this thing that keeps us disconnected from God. That thing is called sin. Sin is doing things our own way. Sin is walking in disobedience to God. The Bible also says that the wages of sin is death. But you see, my friend, it didn't end there, because God in his grace sent his only son Jesus to die on the cross so that you and I didn't have to pay the consequence of sin. And so when Jesus died on the cross, he took on himself what you and I deserved. And so right now you need to know that God is extending to you his grace, forgiveness for your past, a new life right now, and a hope for your future and eternal life with him in heaven. But you see, we must turn away from sin and turn to Jesus. Put our hope in Jesus, put our faith in Jesus, trust in Jesus. The Bible says that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And so if that's you tonight and you're saying, yeah, I want to give my heart to Jesus, I want to make him the Lord of my life, I'm going to count to three. And then I want you to lift your hand and then you can put it down straight away. And listen, You've got no reason to be shy or afraid up in here. Nobody in this room was born holy. We are all sinners who've been saved by grace. But we want you to know that we're right here with you and we've got your back. So if that's you and you're saying, yes, I want to give my heart to Jesus, I want to count to three, you can lift your hand and then you can put it down straight away. One, God loves you. Two, He's speaking to your heart right now. Three, raise your hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, brother. I see your hand there. Listen, there's one more thing that I want you to do for me. I want you to repeat this prayer after me. But listen, brother, I need you to know that this prayer doesn't save you. Jesus Christ saves you. This prayer is just an expression of you putting your hope and faith in Jesus. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and you rose again. I turn away from sin and I turn to you. I invite you to come into my life and be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this Elam Christian Center podcast. Please subscribe to keep hearing more life-changing messages. For more information about our church, please visit www.elamchristiancenter.org.nz.